lifetimes of listening.
If you're a Schwaller, you gotta know the campfire songs.
That brings me back to, I would say, the best time in my life.
And it was this incredibly restorative experience.
Lifetimes of listening.
Welcome to Lifetimes of Listening. It's a podcast that seeks to understand why music is important in people's lives through hearing people share their memories related to music. Now, today's topic is a really interesting one. It's homesickness and the relationship of homesickness to music. Brian Moon and I are co-hosts of the podcast, and we found that many of the people we've spoken to for our musical memory archive over the last, 3-4 years now, have experienced music as a really important means of support and comfort and even inspiration during times that they're away from home, whether off to school or camp for the first time or traveling in a faraway place. Homesickness is a very real thing for many people, and music can be, for many people, a way of dealing with homesickness. So, Brian, I'm curious, have you ever viewed music in this way, as a balm or comfort of sorts when you were experiencing homesickness or loneliness away from home?
I have used the music of Jimmy Buffett regularly to take me back to Pascagoula. So Jimmy Buffett is an artist known for his sort of like Florida connections, but he was born in Pascagoula, Mississippi. He grew up on the Mississippi Gulf or in the Alabama Gulf Coast near Mobile, and his songs often reference Pascagoula, Biloxi, and some New Orleans and a lot of the places nearby. And for whatever reason, particularly his kind of slow, wistful songs about that reference these songs like Biloxi, they've just always, they've been a place that I've gone when I was aware I was missing, you know, my family from the, which is largely from the Gulf Coast, and missing that area and or thinking about that those moments of my life. I went first grade, kindergarten to 12th grade there. I knew even early on I wasn't going to grow up there and wasn't going to live my life there. And yet it's still, I'm still rooted to that place in a very real way.
And the music
helps you with these songs connection. Bring me there, you know, get me there. How about you? Have you ever found music to be a way to connect to a place or bring you some solace when you're feeling distant from home?
Yeah, I have a very specific story to tell about that. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to travel to West Africa to study the music and art and culture of West Africa. It was a very important, meaningful trip for me. The core trip was going to be 3 weeks. But then after that core trip, which was with a group of a couple dozen people, two other gentlemen and I traveled across West Africa from Ghana into the nation of Burkina Faso and then into Mali. And suddenly, unexpectedly, I found that I was going to be traveling by myself across the rest of West Africa and to Spain. Unexpectedly. Hmm. So one day I woke up and realized, oh, I'm on my own. And I wound up traveling, I think, probably for 10 days or so, a week and a half or two, across West Africa to Morocco, to Dakar, Senegal, ultimately to Spain, where I then flew home. And during that time, I carried with me on the trip, because I knew it was going to be important, I carried with me a device that some people never heard of. It was called a mini disc recorder. Did you ever have a mini disc recorder?
I remember them. I didn't have one, but no.
It was kind of somewhere between CDs and MP3s. Anyway,
yeah.
So I had this mini disc recorder, and I loaded all kinds of great music on it. And I can remember a particular time after all these weeks of travel in West Africa, then traveling through Spain by myself on a train and listening over and over and over again to a group that was becoming one of my favorites and still is to this day, an Americana group called Nickel Creek, which I think I've told you about, my love of Nickel Creek. And somehow that music, which is such American music and so meaningful to me on many levels, helped me during a time of being completely by myself on a train, traveling
and having that music to comfort me and help me out. And many, when I was with the group, the larger group of a couple dozen people, other people commented that to this to me as well, that they had brought along their whatever, their CDs, their MP3s, whatever technology they were using, so that they could connect with music from home while they were traveling in this foreign place. And for many of us, it was the first time for such a thing. So that was the first time, one-of-a-kind experience for me, and music really helped me get through some times of loneliness and being literally by myself unexpectedly for a couple of weeks there. So
that
meant a lot and still does. And still, you know, if I listen to a certain couple of songs off the first Nickel Creek CD, I am there.
Interesting.
I am
on the
there
train
on that
Spain.
Train again, traveling northward in Spain, seeing the hundreds of thousands of sunflowers smiling at me. It's a very visual experience. So that's mine.
Yeah, that's really wonderful.
Yeah, so we both have them. It's great.
Well, we're looking forward today to exploring the topic of music and homesickness with our guest, Jamie Matthews. Jamie's involved in residential life on the University of Arizona campus and in training resident advisors to work with incoming freshmen, many of whom are spending their first days away from home as they arrive on campus. So we'll welcome her to our conversation in just a moment.
Our guest today on Lifetimes of Listening is Jamie Matthews. Now, Jamie is a Senior Associate Director of Residential Education, Housing, and Residential Life here on the University of Arizona campus. She tells me she's also a string bass player with a community orchestra here in Tucson and a doctoral candidate at the Center for Higher Education at the University of Arizona. Jamie, welcome to Lifetimes of Listening.
Thanks so much for having me today.
We're curious to get to know you a little bit. How did you get involved in the work that you do around residential life here at the university on campus?
It really started when I was a freshman in my college at Truman State University in Kirksville, Missouri. I was the only one from my high school that went there. I was just looking to make friends. I just wanted to make as many connections as I could while also being introverted. I wanted just some people to get to know. And one night there was a sign for, hey, who wants to come to hall council on Sunday? And I said, well, I'm free. So I went there and got to meet some people. They wanted someone to go to this other larger organization to get involved. And I said, okay, I'm also free Thursday. So just by raising my hand, I quickly became in charge of campus-wide programming for our campus.
Nice.
2 months into my freshman year, got to meet a lot of great upper-class students, a lot of campus advisors. I went to some national conferences where I learned that people work at colleges in this line of work. And that just really set me on a path of I was highly involved in college, like in college and student leadership and student housing. I also did some psychology research as an undergrad looking at well-being of college students because I knew pretty early on in my college career I wanted to go this path and knew that I wanted to work with college students at this really fun time of figuring out who you are, figuring out what you want to be, how you interact with other people, and just the magic of doing that in a housing setting, living in dorms with other people, is just a great opportunity to bring all those things together.
Sounds like it's, for you, a very gratifying line of work.
Absolutely. I think people wouldn't stay in it if it wasn't gratifying and if you weren't finding meaning and purpose, no matter what your role is.
Our episode today is about homesickness, and I'm wondering how often is homesickness an issue for students, you know, freshmen in dorms?
It's definitely a really widespread issue and something that we often talk about with our staff. And we often like to think that it's just freshman students and it's going to be especially those who are from far away. And it's going to be really highly concentrated in August when they first get here. And while all those things can be factors, we really talk about how it can sneak up on you and it can hit students in different ways at different points of time. And so it is a prevalent issue that we frequently see and talk about and help students work through as part of their college experience.
How do you prepare RAs, to residential advisors, how do you prepare the people that are right closest to the students to identify and help and...
So we have a really robust training schedule for our resident assistants. They are really tasked with a lot of responsibilities on campus, from being that peer connector, being a leader responding to crisis and emergencies. And so we really emphasize with them that their first role is to connect with students and to build that connection, to get to know them one-on-one. From there, they also can help students get to know one another within the community level. So the RAs have like a floor of students of 35 to 50 students that they're in charge of. And so, again, we're just forming connections, and that is one of the key pillars of what our programming offers here at the University of Arizona and pretty frequently across any college campus that you're going to find. So with that foundation, we then talk about homesickness as part of the student journey. And so what we do with our resident assistants and what me and my team do is create a student journey map. And so we look across the year of a student of what you might experience at different times. What are the challenges a student might face? What are the barriers? What are the things they might be excited about? So from there, we can talk about August and how they might be really excited to be away from home. They might not be really excited to be away from home, or maybe they're used to being away from home. And we can talk about, there's lots of things going on at the university. So if a student is feeling a little bit isolated or a little bit more hesitant to talk and engage, we can introduce them to some other things going on around campus. We can look at November and say that with Thanksgiving and the holidays coming up, that might be a different time where we're seeing different types of homesickness, of the stress of school, but also those traditions that they might have with their family. Maybe they can continue those, maybe they can't. So we talk about some of those just-in-time moments that homesickness might come up. We talk about January, when you're coming back to campus. Maybe winter break was a really good time, but also reminded you of what you miss about being at your home location, if that is where family is for you. So again, we kind of point out that student journey map for our resident assistants, and it's all things that when they look at it, they go, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Hearing you talk about this makes me wish that when I was a freshman at college, I'd had somebody like you to make me feel more integrated. I wound up going away to school and just basically falling in with a group of people who became my close friends. But my involvement in other things on campus was pretty limited because I never took that time or had somebody to work with. So it sounds like really important work that you're doing. We got one musical question we want to ask you that Brian mentioned here. Do you mind if I post this question?
Go ahead, yeah.
The question is, do you, Jamie, happen to have a specific song or type of music that reminds you of home?
I have some songs that remind me of, like, my family. Ode to Joy or Beethoven's Ninth is one that has special meaning to my family and has since I was a little kid. And so that, when I hear that reminds me of home. It takes me right back to several different moments in time, some happy occasions, some sad occasions, but it represents that coming together in community. If my family's going through a hard time, I have a lot of different instruments at home, and so I'll bust out the cello and play Ode to Joy and just send a quick video to my mom if I know she's having a rough day. Just this weekend I was traveling and I was at a German beer house, and with a big old Alpine horns, they were playing Ode to Joy. So I interrupted the conversation I was having and said, hold on, I got to record this and send it to my family. So that's just a nice memory. And a few years ago, my parents and I got to see the Kansas City Symphony play the entirety of Beethoven's Ninth, which is a special moment. I have a classical music background, so it meant a lot to me. My parents were also able to, with not as strong background, appreciate just the beauty of that piece of work.
Have you experienced being away from family and then heard a snippet of it somewhere and it brings you back to that, to your family? Other than, like you mentioned, the Alpine horns, but is that a sort of common thing, or are there other times like that?
Absolutely, probably so many that I can't really call to mind any specific ones, but it specifically reminds me a lot of my grandma, who has since passed away. But I think like the Starz commercials, like the old Starz movie channel, I don't know if they're still around, but that was their movies. My grandma hated that because she thought it really like did injustice to a song that meant a lot to her. So any time I hear it like being used in like a kitschy commercial way, I enjoy it and laugh and think grandma must be having some opinions about this. From the great beyond. So
yeah,
just different moments like that for sure.
Jamie, we're really glad to have you here. And in a second, we'd like to share with you several musical memories that we have gathered about the experience of homesick and music's ability to play a role with that. and we'd like you to listen to them and maybe respond with your RA training hat on, maybe, and give us the perspective of because these are although these stories are of older adults, they are stories that often reference this 20-ish sort of college moment, a little bit, college and early grad student moment.
So that chance for you to respond to those interviews is coming up in just a moment here on Lifetimes of Listening. So now, Jamie, we have three musical memories about the topic of homesickness to share with you on the program today. Each of these stories that we've recorded with people we've met over the last couple of years, each of them points to the important role that music can play in the midst of the experience of homesickness. So this first musical memory today is from University of Arizona student Emily Jo Schwaller. She's a member of UCAT here on campus, and she shares in this musical memory a way that music helped her to deal with homesickness when she moved far away from home.
I'm Emily Jo Schwaller, and I work in the University Center for Assessment, Teaching, and Technology at U Arizona. I think for me, it really comes back to campfire sing-alongs with that side of the family, and we compiled a book of different songs we sang, things from like classics like American Pie and House of the Rising Sun to like more specific things. We're a very German family, so there's a song called Du bist der Conductor, and it's very fun, and I think that it's been really special to see how some of those songs have really come, like, brought our family together. I have a 3-year-old niece, and seeing her with my 98-year-old grandpa singing Du bist der Conductor has just been really cool and something that I love to see. And there's, like, just the sense that no matter how old you are, like, if you're a Schwaller, you gotta know the campfire songs, and it's great. So I grew up in Montana, and then when I went to get my MA, I moved all the way to North Carolina, and I'd never been there, and I was feeling really homesick, and I came across this place called the Busy Bee Cafe, where musicians can just come bring instruments and sing songs, and some of the songs they were singing were these folk songs that I hadn't heard since the campfire, and so that was really magical and like a little slice of home when I was so far away. Anytime someone from my family came to visit, I took them there and was like, listen, it's like being home together with these strangers. And so, yeah, I definitely would go there as much as I could. Even though as strangers, it felt like home, you know, it felt like being in this space where we were all together. When I think of those campfire songs, I can also smell like the ponderosa pines and things like that. So I think that it's all kind of woven together in a cool way.
Wow, like that just brings so many good memories, and I don't know this individual, so I just appreciate that story. And I think it points to just so much about how music can take you back to certain spaces and certain people. I love that detail of it takes you back to the smell of the ponderosa pines, because I think that really is of, like, how do we get all of our senses involved? And especially when you're going through a rough time or just not feeling connected, we really try to encourage deep conversations and asking follow-up questions when we're connecting with people, and certainly for the resident assistants, but just as humans, ask, like, what? Tell me more about that. And so I really enjoyed this example of, this is what the importance of that song was. Okay, paint a picture for me. Like, help me get to know what you're experiencing right now as much as you want to share. And so those are the exact questions that we'd really want our staff to, if someone's lighting up and getting that kind of twinkle in their eye and starting to loosen how they're sitting and they're beginning to be a little bit more vulnerable with you, lean into that and ask and to let them guide the way about what they want to share. And I think when music is involved, you really get a great chance to learn more about that culture and to learn more about what that family upbringing was. And I think we all like some sense of familiarity, right? So if you're in a new location, but all of a sudden you have the space to talk about these traditions and to talk about the intergenerational connection that you all had, you feel that you matter a little bit more. And you never know who you're going to talk to and if they have some similarities with that or if they just want to ask you more because that really intrigues them. Maybe they didn't have that experience, but they think that sounds really awesome. Like, let's dive more into that. Music's just so powerful in that way, and I think it's just a great way to share a little bit about who you are and get that conversation rolling.
This idea of feeling like being at home with a bunch of strangers because of music, like that music could bring that feeling of home so much that it just didn't really matter where you were, you know, that it was really about something about the music just brought it all together. I find it really powerful.
Okay, we're going to share with you another musical memory. Brian and I met a young man named J.T. Chen. It's been several years ago now when we were a part of the University of Arizona's presence at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And J.T. Shared, I believe I was the one who interviewed him, and he shared with me a particular time in his life when music really, really meant something to him in this kind of context of being away from home and homesickness. So let's listen now to the story, his musical memory. This is J.T. Chen.
My name is J.T. So I'm an industrial designer. I'm originally from Taiwan. Moved to the U.S. in 2009. I remember when I was in high school, that's in Taiwan. So there was a really, really popular fan called May Day. They were alumni of our high school, so we really took pride of that. We joined the guitar club to memorize every single song from them. It kind of becomes like a sub identity of our school. Now I look back, those music are so like student, you know. And then now when I hear those music, that brings me back to, I would say, the best time in my life so far. So those songs bring me back to the time. Sometimes the music, like, no matter how lame they are, I will put it, like, run it for hours because I get into a state of zone out and just pure homesick. Sometimes by accident, or sometimes I intentionally want to bring me back to that moment, I will get into a state of happy and sad at the same time. You get like you get the notion of those time will never come back and how much you like wish you did it differently. Like the music is just a trigger.
Yeah, your thoughts on JT's sharing.
What really just the ability to be happy and sad at the same time, like wow, what a powerful comment there, and I think just so accurate to the human experience. And I think sometimes we think that music needs to make us happy or needs to make us sad. Like there's like we're sad, we need to be happy, or just kind of we only experienced emotions in that really one-dimensional way. But I think that speaks to like music and why we look like we can be happy and sad at the same time, and music can help us like recognize the beauty in that and help us know that regardless of our levels of happy or sad or whatever emotions, that there's something greater out there and that we are comforted in. We do have like a purpose in where we're going within our lives there. I also just enjoy the song, and it just brings you right back to a moment in time because I think lots of us can have that. And I think part of also what we do in college is help establish, like, what are your songs right now? And so it reminded me of oftentimes, so back in my day, which wasn't too long ago, we would make mixed CDs, and everyone on a floor might be able to contribute a song at the beginning of the year that represents who they are. Now you can make a Spotify playlist if you wanted to. But we do that to build some community, and then it's also fun to do it at the end of the year and see how, not your musical taste necessarily, but just what represents you now, 9 months later after your freshman year of college. And so I think that's kind of the same idea of this high school, it built some community around this song, and then years later he can still listen to it and have that experience. And that's what we do just in different ways in community settings, and I think it still applies of what that looks like. I know I still listen to CDs from 2006 from some of the other RAs that I worked with, and I know exactly whose that song was, and I know exactly kind of why they put it on there and what that meant to them. And I'm flooded with all these memories of a really great college experience, and I'm sad that that's not what my current life is, but I also realize like how far we've come, the academic careers that everyone has created, and I can really appreciate the foundation that created and the music that still connects us to those memories, because it's great to hang on to those memories, even if it's like a nostalgic kind of feeling. Yeah.
This idea that music can elicit sadness from us, especially in relation to, say, important memories, but that we really enjoy that sensation. I read an article, I can't recall who it was by, that was titled, "Why Do Sad Songs Make Us Feel So Good?" But they do, because music has this ability, a very unique ability, to connect us with important things in our past, in our lives, relationships, and so forth. And even if the music is making us sad, it's a very profoundly positive experience for us. It's kind of a unique, unique quality of music.
Forgive me, because I only half know one of Brené Brown's recent projects, where she's working on just trying to make people aware that we tend to have words for like five emotional states, but there are really hundreds and hundreds, and we just haven't figured out the ways to communicate that. JT's English was his second language, and yet he still found a way to just beautifully sum that up, the happy, sad. Yeah, that, just finding a way to like to capture that just so perfectly, because that it is, it's the happy sad, the homesick is the happy sad a little bit, and I really also made me think back to your idea of helping students find their journey, and because he's in a job in America and another country in a job. But every once in a while, he wants to experience that sense of place and home, and he can do that using music that even now he feels like it's not as complicated, I guess, as other musics that he listens to, but that's how he gets there. It's there's so much there.
I think regardless of if it's like a second language, or just some people express and experience emotions differently. And so I think especially for some of our students that maybe they're not used to being able to express their emotions, or they haven't like had to experience levels of sadness or any other words. I have a feelings wheel that I use all the time that has lots of different words that's sadness, and then it branches out to all the different types of sadness, or happy or fear or anger. And I just think music is a great tool, because maybe some students just need an excuse to understand a little bit more about why they're feeling sad. Maybe they don't know they're feeling sad, and maybe it's okay for them to express that a little bit more based off music, and then it opens up the opportunity for them to experience those emotions on their own. But I think especially the age of students in college, we see a wide range of students with different levels of emotional intelligence and capacity to understand what they're experiencing, let alone express it and learn how to work through that.
Yeah. Well, we've got one more really interesting story that we're going to share with you, Jamie, in just a minute or so, about a student who was traveling abroad, and music was very helpful in helping this person to overcome feelings of homesickness. Then we'll ask for your thoughts on that one as well. That final musical memory is coming up in just a minute on Lifetimes of Listening.
So our last musical memory today is by now a staff person here at the U of A named Devin Bailey, but who was a student and studied abroad, as Dan was saying. And we also heard this story when we were at South by Southwest a couple of years ago. And when he told this story, it was one of those things where you could tell he was opening up, and he had already... He has a relatively high emotional intelligence, but part of it, I think, was because of the way that he allowed music in this moment to speak with him. So anyway, let me stop talking about it and let me play it.
My name is Devin Bailey, and I am a data and visualization consultant for the Research Technologies Department at the University of Arizona. In my second to last year as an undergrad at the University of Arizona, I got to do an internship abroad. I was in neuroscience, and I went to Geneva to work with this group called the Blue Brain Project, and they did computational neuroscience. And it was an incredible experience, but it was also incredibly lonely. I was displaced around the globe. I was living in an Airbnb that was jam-packed with people, and you know, my work was very stressful, and I found myself, you know, very quickly in the grind of go to work, read papers, try to make progress on a very difficult question, go home, repeat. And I was on the light rail or the trolley in Geneva, and I looked up and I saw an advertisement for Julia Holter, who is a singer-songwriter that a friend of mine, you know, at one point said, I bet you're going to like some stuff from Julia Holter. And sure enough, I did. And it was so strange to, you know, feel like here I was sort of lost in this unfamiliar world of work and things that I felt out of my depth in. And here was this sort of like hook. And I just remember sitting, you know, in my, like, I was the only person in the row that I was in. And she was on stage in that spotlight on the piano. And it felt like it was just the two of us. And it was this incredibly, like, restorative experience, you know. And it was an incredible moment. You know, to then have two more months in the internship, but then to feel like I had been sort of renewed and I could carry on because I had made it to that one show. No, I just left, you know, full of emotion and went off on my own. And I was like, she'll never know, but this was very, very important to me, realizing that that music had this impact on me. But it was pretty profound.
I think just the restorative nature of music is just so great to hear coming through among any other themes from that story there. And I think it really calls to mind for me within our work with college students is that especially during times of high stress when students are just going from one thing to another, maybe midterms or finals, Devin talked about it, like about the grind of what he was going through with his really amazing opportunity. But sometimes you just need to remember like who you are and what you did before all these opportunities, and what did you do before you had that internship, before you had all these finals, and just get back to that, even if it's just for a small moment. And so I appreciate that that was going to a concert and hearing some live music, and then that was it, like that was like restorative, and that gave the comfort and the confidence that we can continue on and finish out that internship.
And the wonderful coincidence of being in this faraway place, and there's one of his, this artist that he so much loves, and getting to reconnect with that, yeah, on his, very much on his own. Didn't sound like he invited a bunch of people. It was just like, this is going to be good for me, and I'm going to go take it in.
I loved also, Jimmy, how you reframed that story, because I, as I was listening to it, I identified more with the performer than with Devin. You know, like, I, and the idea that Devin is using that musical moment to reconnect with a big part of his identity, so that he can then bring himself more fully to the opportunities that he, you opened that story up for me. Thank you.
I was going to say, I might be putting some story into Devin's experience, but listening to it just really calls to mind my experience as a graduate student. It was the first time I was further away from home than usual. But I wasn't playing in a community orchestra. I played in college orchestra throughout college, and it was the first time I wasn't actively playing music with other people, and I just was not feeling myself. And one day someone was like, hey, why don't you go try out this other band? Like, I got involved with another organization on campus, and they're like, you're a different person when you get back from those rehearsals. So I stuck with it, and it just was like a really call to mind of I was getting so caught up. And being a graduate student, I was so excited to be there, but I forgot what was giving me joy and giving me comfort beforehand. And so that's kind of what was bringing to mind of, I felt like he was feeling a little bit stressed and what everything was going on and just going from one project to another. And sometimes you just need that connection, and you might not realize that you're missing it until you get back to playing or you get back to the audience, yeah, of music, whether it's live or you turn on a song or anything like that.
The place that this story takes me is is actually another podcast. It's an interview of Amos Lee, a singer-songwriter, by Dan Harris, a former Good Morning America host who has a podcast called the 10% Happier Podcast. And this interview, both Dan Harris and Amos Lee have severe anxiety, like the crippling kinds of anxiety. But Amos Lee is a performer. You know, like his job is to go on stage every night. And the way that he reframed it for him that allows him to walk on stage every night, even though he's got this inability to do that as an individual, you know, he's not wired for it, is he began to think of whom in his audience needed that music at that moment, because he could share his songs with somebody to help them, even though, you know, and that took him out of the place of being anxious about going on stage. And I tell Amos Lee's story on that podcast to a lot of students, that particularly ones that I know that have anxiety, stage fright, anxiety issues, as it was like, you know, just let's reframe it a little bit. So I was really identifying more with the artist in this case, and I was thinking about that. So I was, thank you for bringing it back. But I think it's also really a wonderful story, and that we can all have so many ways into it.
So thanks so much for responding to these three musical memories. It's been a really great experience with having you here on the program. Jamie Matthews with the University of Arizona's Residential Education and Housing Life. Thanks again so very much for being our guest today on Lifetimes of Listening.
Thank you for all you're doing for our students at the U of A. Yeah, yeah.
It is my pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for listening to Lifetimes of Listening. If you haven't done so already, please follow us or subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll also consider participating in our project by telling us your story.
You know, we always like to remind listeners that we're really grateful for the now upwards of 200 people who have recorded a story for Arizona Musical Memory Archive. Those interviews, those stories are allowing us to better understand the ways that people value music in their lives. And if you haven't visited our website, you can do so. It's musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. On that website, you'll find the full-length interviews of the ones that we have posted here.
You can also submit a musical memory of your own via a sound file, an essay, a poem, even an illustration of some sort, or suggest somebody that you know who would like to share their musical memory with us. So please take a look at musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. I'm Brian Moon.
And I'm Dan Cruz. Thanks for listening.
The executive producer of Lifetimes of Listening, the Arizona Musical Memory Podcast, is Brian Moon. The program is produced and edited by Dan Cruz. The Lifetimes of Listening website was created by Cynthia Barlow, Principal Information Technology Manager with the University of Arizona School of Music. Music is from Zapsplat.com and from Pixabay.com. Special thanks to the University of Arizona School of Music and the UA College of Fine Arts for their continued support of the Lifetimes of Listening Musical Memory Archive and this podcast. For more information and to get involved in our research, visit musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. This is Lifetimes of Listening, the Arizona Musical Memory Podcast.